Amar Rava, Ha Milsa Amrita Na. This idea I've said, the Itmar Mishmei, the Rebbe Zera Kavasi, and it was also said in the name of Rebbe Zera, Shlosha Sha'achlu Kiyachas. The three you ate together, meaning they were kavei themselves together in a manner where there is a chiyuv of zimun. Echad mafsik l'shnayim. One person is mafsik for two. The ain shnayim mafsikin li'echad. But two are not mafsik for one. Rashi, echad mafsik l'shnayim. Im gamru hashnayim sudasan. If two of them finished eating, v'rotz in lezamein, and they want to be mezamein. Of course, the third person is still eating, so got a little bit of a problem over there. That two are ready to bench, and the third is not. A little bit of a derech eretz kind of situation. What's the derech eretz? Derech eretz hu shiyeh ha'echad mafsik es sudaso. It's derech eretz. It's appropriate that one person should stop eating. Ad sheyazamnu alav, until they do zimun, including him, incorporate him in the zimun. Ad birkas hazan. Now that's interesting because now Rashi is defining a zimun as being up until birkas hazan. Dahainu birkas zimun. That is birkas zimun. That's an important point, but that's going to be returned to because it's a whole sugya in its own right. So this is not the origin of this point. Rashi's just referring to it over here. That according to Rashi, Zimun doesn't end with just Nevarach Shechal and Shalom. It's connected to the first bracha. It has to at least have a Birka Sazan, otherwise you don't have Zimun. Okay, so it's interesting. We don't know what the third person is doing other than he's not eating now. So that once the third person stops eating, so the two others have Zimun. I assume he responds, but he's not benching, that's for sure, because he's going to go back to his meal. The Chose ever gomer sedasso. And then he goes back and concludes his meal. So what you have is an interesting situation. This third person situation is the interesting one. Because is he benching or he's not benching? Seems like he's not benching. Of course, you could say he is benching and then he goes back, but that's the language of Chose v'Gomer, that he goes back to his meal. That does not seem to be the case. When he goes back to his meal, what are you saying? He just continues eating? Or did he bench already and now he has to wash over again and start a whole new meal? That's not the implication of Rashi, anyways. Well, we'll see in the Meiri discusses this. All right, but let's get the basic point. Al shnayim ein aleim lahafsek b'shvil hayochid v'yamtin ad sheyigmru. But let's say the situation is that one person can complete his meal and he wants to leave and the other two are eating. So what's the halacha in that case? That the other two do not have to interrupt their meal. So what is the individual, what does the yachid do in that case? Sometimes he's stuck. He can't leave because he can't bench. And what if you were to say, well, let him bench now, and by the time he's finished benching, they'll be ready for Zimun, and I'll do my Zimun afterwards. Can't do that because ain't Zimun l'mafreya. Once you have your Birkas HaMazon, you can't do Zimun anymore. So basically, he's stuck. Below the Gemara asks, "V'harav Papa Afsik, Afsik le la'aba marberei ihu v'chad." So we know of a case where Rav Papa was mafsik for two other people. So, of course, at first glance, whenever you have a situation like that, the Gemara is going to assume that he did so because that's the chiyuv, that he has to do so. Which would then contradict what we just learned. So the Gemara answers Shani Rav Papa. That Rav Papa's case was different. The Lifnim Mushuras Hadin Hudi Avad. That he was acting in accordance with Lifnim Mushuras Hadin, which means going above beyond the requirements of the din. Which is a little bit strange because we just were talking about Derech Eretz, but well, that's not a problem though. I mean, simply put, we never meant to say that he can't interrupt. What we're saying is that the Shuras HaDin, so to speak, the line of the din, the requirement is that one interrupts for two. And two don't interrupt for one. So then the fact that you have a case with Rav Papa is no proof. Because if a person wants to, he wants to be a so-called a mensch for whatever reason, he can do it. No one's saying he can't do it. So that's the answer of the Gemara. I just want to correct it. The case of Rav Papa is where him and another person interrupted for one person. So they interrupted their meal for one person. So that's the contradiction. We learned that two do not interrupt for one. One interrupts for two. The question that I would ask would be, what's the reason for this? Why is it that we say that one interrupts for two, but two don't interrupt for one? I mean, we're just saying it's there, cheres, but what's the idea behind it? We're looking at the Ritva now. That's on page 44 in our booklets. So he says, Pirush, Imrasu Shnayim Mehem Lotzeis, if two want to leave, Verotzim Levarech, and they want a bench, the Lotzeis, Shekvar Gamru Achilasan, because they've concluded their eating. Ve'echad Lo Gamar Adayin, and the third one did not finish. Ve'echad Mafsik Achilaso, Al Kacho. Ah, the first one has to be Mafsik is Achil Al Kacho. They include him in the Zimun, and he answers with them. And even if he doesn't want to be mafsik, they are mezamen, including him. And they fulfill Zimun. As long as he's there. Now this is something that we've learned before. There was a whole discussion where the situation where the one person leaves and goes to the shuk, as opposed to where he's... The Mishnah Berurah pointed it out, that chilek, that if he leaves and it's korin lo, so then he has to respond. And there was a sheet in the Meiri that said even in that situation, even if he doesn't respond. But basically most positions held that if he leaves, then he has to be responding. But if he's at the table, so then he's part of the kriyas. That's how we explain. He's part of the kviyas, and as long as he's part of the kviyas of Shlosha, so then the two can always be mezamim. So that's interesting. It turns out now that the way the Ritva is learning is that the third person doesn't even have to interrupt. Doesn't even have to interrupt his meal. It would seem that the reason why he would be mafsik and answer is for his own personal benefit, according to this, that he has a chiv to do so, which should be the compelling reason is because he has a chiv zimun. Now, what's going to happen if he just keeps eating? They could be mezamin olav, but is he yotzei his chiv zimun? Would seem not. How does he yotzei his chiv zimun if he didn't do anything? Just by virtue of the fact. It just so happens that in order to have Zimun, you have to have a unit of three, and two of the people are responding so they can fulfill the Achiv of Zimun. Because they're doing so within the framework of a unit of three. But if the person is not responding, he's not even listening, so how did he? He didn't fulfill his Achiv of Zimun. So if that's the case, then we understand both halachos. He's supposed to stop. That's in other words, he can't stop them. He can't say, according to halacha, you have no right to go ahead. You have to wait for me. I want to be part of the Zimun. I'm part of the Shlosha. And the rules are that we don't do anything till we're all ready. Can't say that. Now we're learning that that's not the rules. So both are true. That is to say, there is no contradiction between the Ritva and what Rashi is saying. Because in this situation, you have to know two things. First of all, you have to know what the rules are. Where three people have eaten together, two people are finished and they're ready to bench, do they determine? They have the right to determine that this is the appropriate time for this group to do Zimun, or not. If they don't have a right to do so, then they have to wait. Wait for me. You have to wait for me. And they're wrong. First thing is yes, that the two people, two out of the three, and that could be a Derech Eretz phenomenon, which makes sense. It's not, you see, it's interesting also, Derech Eretz, because it's not the kind of material that lends itself to a very specific halachic kind of formulation. There are certain things, there has to be an order, there has to be a Seder over here, there has to be things which determine. So sometimes, most of the times, especially when you're studying Gemara, so those things which determine are pure halachic phenomena. Halach itself spells out the chiyuv and the obligation and so forth. Here's a case where it really doesn't. But something that there needs to be a resolution. So the resolution is in terms of what is considered derech eretz. So whenever there is a phenomenon that there is a group, when you're involved in a group, so I know it sounds very conventional. It doesn't sound like halachic and all of that, but there is a reality of the group. If the majority of the people determine the group, majority rules. I think everybody would agree to that. That since you're dealing with something in the framework of a group, and nine people want to go here, one person wants to go there, so it's derech eretz for the one person to go along because they express the will of the group. And since you're in a group, you shouldn't just it would be a certain arrogance. It would be arrogance for the individual to expect the whole group to conform to him, because it's a group situation. Obviously, if you don't want to be part of the group, don't be part of the group. But that's what we would call derech eretz. It makes sense. So, in this situation, you have certain situations where the determination is not necessarily going to find itself in terms of a particular halachic application. If it would seem that way, there's nothing within Zeman itself so far. There's nothing within the rules of Zeman itself that will answer this. So maybe you have to turn to a different question of Derech Eretz. That's the first thing. Second thing is, once that's established, it's interesting. Once that's established, you got to ask yourself, well, what if this person doesn't want to cooperate and he continues eating? So the Ritva is saying that the two people have a right to do Zeman. He could be included in the Zeman even without his participation. Let's tie it together why you need both principles. Seems it's not enough to merely say that the two can include him without his participating. Because what right do they have to do so? What gives them the right to do that? You sat down to eat a meal together. That would be derech eretz. A breach, rather. That would be a breach. It seems to be in derech eretz. If two people just 5 seconds later decide we're leaving, and didn't even give a chance for this person to eat, so that would be lacking. So you need to explain why two people have the right to go about it in a manner which excludes the third person. They can't. So therefore, we're assuming now that it's a normal situation, and they finish their meal, and they have to leave. And the other person, whatever reason, he's having a bigger meal, he's not ready to leave. So now you're coming into the framework where we have to talk about the situation in terms of derech eretz. So once you introduce derech eretz, the derech eretz is that one's mafsek l'shnayim. That's the way it goes in derech eretz. Okay, so that gives these two people the right to go ahead. Once they have the right to go ahead, so then if this person is recalcitrant and he doesn't want to cooperate because of his breach in derech eretz, they can include him. But I don't think the same would be true if they were not acting in a framework of derech eretz. They wouldn't have a right to just go ahead and do zimun and exclude the third person and just rely on the halacha that if he's there, he could do zimun if they weren't acting in the framework of derech eretz. Shnayim eimav sikin liyechad. Continuing now in the Ritva, we're on page 45. If one of them wants to leave, ein chayav in hashnayim lahafsik achilasan b'shvil ha'echad. The two are not obligated, not chayav, to interrupt their meal for the sake of the one. V'hilkach ein chiyav zimun chal, therefore the chiyav zimun is not chal, ad sheyisratzu lahafsik ulavarech, until they agree to stop eating and to bench. The imlo ratzu lahafsik, v'zimein hu alehem, lo asa v'lo klum. And if they don't want to be mafsik, and he was mezamein on them, that is to say, the one person did zimun with them, lo asa v'lo klum. It was seen from the Ritva that in the other situation where two people conclude, so then that's sufficient because they have a right to do Zimun at that point. So then Chova Zimun is Chal. And the third person is automatically included. But for one person, if one person is finished, so that's not sufficient to create Chov HaZimun. So therefore, he can't do anything. He can't do anything. And even if he were to try and be Mezamin Aleihem, it would be a waste. Then he continues, V'yim lo hispik lotzeis, achar shebirech, ache gamru elu lechol. And if this third person did not finish up in time, in other words, by the time he was finished benching, the two completed their meal. The vaday mezamin olav. They can be mezamin on him. It's an interesting situation. He's continuing that thought. That is that the two are not mafsik for one. So, however, if the one person went ahead and benched, and by the time he was finishing benching, they had finished their meal now. So the question is, he's still around. He hasn't left yet. Can the other two include him in the Zimun? That's the question. So he says, "Bevadai mezamin olav, delo poka zimun mehani." Calls a man shlo yatsa, afal pi shebirech. That the zimun has not been removed from them, from the two, as long as this person did not leave, even though he was mevarech, even though he'd be benched already. And bear in mind that once he benched, he's no longer eligible for the Zimun. He himself can't do, because ain't Zimun l'mafreya. You can't do Zimun after the benching. Umiyu ha'echad lo nafak yidei Zimun. That's the key point. This situation is interesting. That is to say, the Ritva is talking about the case where one person didn't follow the rules. So he finished his meal first, and they weren't doing this in the Mishur Sadin, and so he can't do Zimun. He's not really supposed to bench at this point. He's supposed to wait for the other two, but he didn't. Okay, so he went ahead and he benched, and now he's still there, so the other two can include him in their Zimun, even though person number three is not going to be Yotzei Zimun. As I said before, he can't be Yotzei Zimun. The ain zimun l'mafreya, because you can't have zimun after the benching. Once a person fulfilled his birkas hamazon, he can't go back and do zimun. Kolomar acha shebirech birkas hamazon. The expression ain zimun l'mafreya, literally retroactively, means after a person benched. V'hachi isa l'kamam behedye, and this is stated openly later on. It seems that what the Ritva is saying is, he's taking up the issue at what point the Chiyav Zimun would be uprooted. That is to say, you've created an entity And the Chiyuv Zimun is contingent upon the existence of a certain entity, that is, the entity of Shlosha, Shach, Hukachas, who ate together. So, at what point do you have a breach in the entity? Now, the Havamina would be that they are united as long as they both share the same Chiyuv. But once one person has benched, he's fulfilled his Birkas HaMazon, even though he wasn't supposed to do it. And therefore, he's uprooted from the Chiyuv Zimun. So now, the phenomenon of Chiyuv Zimun, the Allah Chiyuv of Zimun, is gone. And you would have thought that that's the factor which creates, which keeps together the unit of Shlosha. So what he's saying is that now, once you have the, it's the Kfiyas Makom, which establishes the Chiyuv, as long as the three people are still in a state of Kfiyas, that's what he means, he didn't leave physically. As long as they're still in a state of Kfiyas, so the unit of Shlosha exists. The unit of Shlosha exists for the purpose of Zimun, even though one of them can't participate. That's what he's saying. That is to say, you would have thought that he's only part of the unit insofar as he can participate. Or at least he has the Chiyuv to do so. He's still connected to them in terms of the Chiyuv. But once he's preempted, and he's got a hand, he's done Birkas HaMazon, so he's out of the Birkas HaMazon, and because of the halacha of Ein Zimun L'Mafreya, he's out of the Zimun. He's no longer involved in Zimun. So now he's not connected to them in terms of Zimun, so you might have thought that that's it. Paka Zimun. That now you don't have the unit of Shlosha. But he's saying that that's not the case. That since they're part of the original Kvius, he hasn't left the Makom, so therefore the group remains intact. In terms of being part of the group in which Zimun can occur, that group remains intact. All right, we have a conference. Yeah, well, what?
You have to hang up with YU and